That's not a bad deal. But last year, we had 16,000.
April 23rd, 2018, calling to order the special meeting for the City of Ocala Firefighters Retirement Plan. The entire board is present. James Williams is absent. Okay, I don't see anyone from the public, so I guess there's no public comments. Other matters to come before the board. We put out a letter to all the firefighters that, you know, advising them that I'm retiring and can no longer serve on the board. So a nomination for Scott Bolton was made. Several others were made for Rob Davis, but Rob turned it down, said that he's not ready at this time. He just wants to come and get educated. So with no other nominations, there did not need to be an election. So Scott Bolton will definitely be taking my position as he was elected by the firefighters. Fucking dollars. So what we need to do is find out who wants to be the new chairman when I leave. Does anybody want to volunteer to be the new chairman?
I'm on the board there.
You want to?
I will volunteer to do it if nobody else does.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Anybody can be the chairman. You know, it doesn't have to be the elected member. It is a bit easier with the elected member because he is here every third day, and it's much easier for him to contact and shoot emails through the city system and everything. But it doesn't have to be that way. Does anybody object to Scott becoming the chairman? We've never had a vice chairman. I mean, I see it says here, discuss chairman and vice chairman.
Just in case, usually the vice chairman runs the meeting if the chairman can't make it for some reason.
Okay.
Is a second person in case we need, you know, a signature for banking. But other than that, that's just about it.
Okay.
The duties.
All right. Well, do we want to wait till we have a full board to pick a vice chairman, or do we want to choose a vice chairman today?
Makes no difference to me.
Okay.
I'd like to nominate John Dozier to take that.
Do you want to be the vice chairman?
I can do it.
Okay.
I can sign a check.
Okay.
As long as I don't have to do much more than that, I'm ready.
No, it's like she said, you know, you can hold a meeting if the chairman doesn't show or is unable to make it, and maybe we can put him on as a signer or something like that. Okay, we have a nomination for Larry Dozier to be the vice chairman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, second by Justin. If there's no, open for discussion, we've kind of discussed it. If there's no opposition to unanimous approval, then Mr. Dozier will be our next vice chairman. First and next.
So far.
And just as a note that Justin, I have you as the secretary still.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Those duties have been hard.
They have been very difficult.
Okay.
Authorized signatures. I guess I can turn most of them over. I've got a few of them. I've told them. My mail's already coming in your name. because I wanted to do it a couple of months out to let them know that I was gonna be off, so.
What I'll do is I've touched bases with all of the different managers in the bank to find out what forms or what letters they need.
Okay.
I'll prepare all those. And when I've gotten them all ready, I'll let Scott know.
We already have, in most of our accounts, we have somebody like Cindy Kelly, who used to show, she's since left the city, but we have somebody up in finance typically. Alicia's not allowed to sign for anything, but usually somebody from budget will be authorized, or the controller. Anyway, that way if I'm not, I don't have to drive all the way in town to sign a paper to have some money transferred.
Yeah, usually somebody in finance or something, right now I have Jared down for, because he's filling in as my supervisor for immediate, you know, the immediate stuff. We'll have him down for banking, this kind of stuff, but as far as the managers, it'll always be somebody from this board that will sign for it. Nobody upstairs is listed.
Right. Okay, so we'll work on getting that. You guys will work on getting that, and we'll change the signatures. Board operating rules.
I went through and updated the operating rules. We're doing the ordinance rewrite, that kind of stuff. What I did, I got an update for general employees, so I just added the language that their attorney gave us for their operating rules. These mirror the general employees. And I usually do that with, if the fire board, you know, attorney gives us something, I'll update the other two.
Right.
It just saves with attorney fees, this kind of stuff.
I'd like to look at these and understand them before we...
If you have any questions, just let me know. Along with the rules, there's a couple of forms for the drop, leaving the money in the drop, and then how you want it dispersed when you want to start taking the money from the drop. Those forms also need to be looked at.
Right, right.
And approved by the board.
Okay.
And then there's...
How often does a firefighter in the drop program have to execute, or how often do they review these forms? Annually?
No. These are new forms.
So you can walk in and change at any time?
Yes.
I want to go from not taking any distributions to beginning distributions.
Yes. I think we discussed maybe after so many... You know, let them know, you know, if you come in four or five times, six, seven times,
we're going to,
the next time we're going to maybe charge you for.
Do they have the option of rolling this into a 401k?
Yes, that option is already established with the city.
It's not on here, though, is it?
No, this is just for, these are just new forms for the new ordinance that allows them to actually leave the money in the plan. They can elect that. That's a new option. You can take it in a lump sum distribution. You can roll it over. You can split it. You can do all of those things already. This is just adding the option to leave the money when you are done participating in a draw.
Yeah.
In the investment. In the fire's investment.
And then the members will make or lose whatever the plan makes or loses.
Yes.
So there's no actuarial, there's no impact, actuarial impact on the plan.
And that ordinance that you're holding, Mayor, that is the changes allowing that to happen.
Where did this come from?
That came from this board's attorney, Adam.
Well, it's really comprehensive.
I think he did a little bit of cleanup with the IRS rules and...
So interesting, if you go in the military, your retirement continues apparently.
Yeah, that's without, whether, that's federal law.
There are limitations on it, and it's a federal mandate.
That's federal law, they're mandating because they're not getting enough people in the military, so they're making all these...
They're trying to prevent guys that are getting called into active duty from losing their pensions. You know, cities are saying, oh, you missed a year, you're done.
Yeah.
And get terminated and losing their pension, they're trying to prevent that.
Our police department actually pays their contribution while they're gone, so they don't lose any of that time.
Yeah, that's how...
I mean, it's extra, it's above and beyond, but that's what they chose.
The city does pretty good.
Well, somebody go and explain all this to us in less of legalese language.
We can get the attorney on the phone anytime we want. We have, if you would like a conference call at the May meeting, we can do that. But this is, you know, the union and the city negotiated some changes, and these are basically just the changes that they negotiated. And one of them was allowing the members to leave the money in the plan, that which helps the plan because it gets, you know, the economies of scale. You know, that way we have much more money in the plan. We can further better diversify because they have met so many of the managers have minimums, and if we don't have the minimums, then we can't diversify into that sector. So, anyways,
what are most of the people doing with their drop? Are they taking it out in cash and leaving it there, or what?
They do all kinds of things. I wouldn't say there's more of one than the other.
Nobody's been allowed to leave their money in there until now. This is a new...
You get, well, he asked about taking a lump sum or rolling it over. I think most people take between 10 and 50 up front and then roll the rest over.
Oh.
They take a little, most people take a little bit to spend and then roll the rest over.
Yeah.
Leave it and drop.
No, they roll it over to a 457 or an IRA or something like that. Now they'll be able to leave it.
Okay. The question I have is about the distribution form. Is there a separate distribution form?
Yes, there is a separate.
Okay.
Which they will still need to fill out.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's called our lump sum distribution. It gives them all the rules about the taxes and requests that they take advice from a tax professional or at least speak to one. And then that will stay the same. They will still get that form. They will still have to...
Well, since all of this is taxable income, you have to issue 1099s or all these?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I do.
That's
cumbersome? A little bit.
That's really separate.
So what happens... Like how... If somebody... Let's say somebody takes their money out,
mm-hmm.
and the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
How do you determine what the value, I mean, is there a daily value of that person, or?
Well, that's what, at the bottom there's a chart that says if you, on that page there, at the bottom of this one, right here.
Okay.
If you take your money in December, if you leave in December, it's going to be a couple of months, 4 to 5 months. Before you get the full payout of your draw. And that's because if you, like you said, if you leave in March, we're going to need Dave's quarterly report given to the actuary to tell us what that bottom, what that interest was for that quarter. I'm not saying that we can't give you some of it when you actually physically leave, but to pay out the entirety, we'll hold some of that back.
Basically, it's going to hover around the quarter
mark for
yes.
the statements
and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
So there.
Yep, yep. So, that this is just if your money's in there after you separate from drop, though, correct?
Yes.
That's not going to slow down that traditional drop.
No.
Roll over how that normally happens.
No.
This is just if the money's
just
in the
plan.
It's only the
yes,
people
yep,
who
yep.
elect
yep.
to leave their money in the
yep.
plan.
Okay.
If you choose to take the withdrawal 2 years after you've left your money in the plan,
mm-hmm.
have to work around these parameters. You've got money.
But if you want to leave and take your money and give it to somebody else to invest, you can do that. That's
another option.
So let's say you have $100,000 in there.
Mm-hmm.
You may be able to get 85.
Yeah,
based on whatever the mark, and then you just got to figure out where
the rest of it. Okay. I got to make sure you don't owe me any money at the end of that market cycle.
Yeah, at that quarter. That's what I was wondering. If you saw the quarter was down, you take your money out and say,
yeah.
Sorry about your luck.
No, you're going to have to wait for that cycle to be reported to get all of it. And we, in the general plan in the past, there was an option to where you could, the drop actually, participated with the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So if you went into the drop, you had to wait to get your money.
Okay.
And with this ordinance, I just want to back up for a second. With the ordinance, this is the city's ordinance. The city is going to move forward with this ordinance. I don't want to say no matter what the board determines here, but we can offer suggestions or you know, maybe this needs to be this way or add this, or we can offer suggestions as the board, but the board can go to council and
the ordinance was basically decided in the contract.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not,
and it is the city's ordinance. The board can take it to directly to council, but without the city's management, it will stall.
Right. Yeah, it's the city's responsibility to put the ordinance in place, and it's the board's responsibility to honor the ordinance as it's written. And we can't offer suggestions to the city. We can't offer suggestions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're asking for something actuarially or this or that, we can certainly offer any suggestions. And they may take it, they may not take it, but it's not the board's responsibility to write it. It's their responsibility to write it. And
that's this right here.
Written by our attorney, so, you know, it should have our interest in mind.
Oh, there's an RFP team in there somewhere.
To clarify on the on being able to leave your drop, in the plan. It says in here that it ain't 70.5.
I don't know. I don't know how that got put
all of your money out of it.
Yeah.
I know that in the plan that we had.
Right.
When I turned 70.5, it the plan document called for the plan sponsor to do my R&D. For 2017.
Right.
So when I contacted them to roll everything out at 70.5, they basically said, okay, here is your R&D for 2017. And we'll roll the rest out. And I'm just curious if our document says the same thing.
Our document does mention the 70.5 rule.
I didn't see the 70.5. It says you have to have all your money out by 70.5.
Yeah.
But in the ordinance, it said that you had to have the minimum required by the IRS.
That is for your pension.
For your pension.
The ordinance, when in the language in the ordinance, it actually mentions, is talking about your pension.
What page?
Starting by 70.5.
Because most money, whenever you move it out of a plan, will make that R&D that's mandatory when it rolls.
If you're at 70.5.
Correct. Yep.
It's not in the ordinance, though. That's just in our rules. So, am I correct on that?
No, I believe it's 70.5 is in our ordinance, our actual ordinance. This is only a...
It references the IRS rule.
I know that IRS had to do with the plan document that covered my 401k.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, would not distribute all the money in kind or in cash, however I wanted it, without sending me the R&D for the year.
Mm-hmm. And that's a TPA question. Who's the TPA?
What do you mean?
Are you guys your own third-party administrator?
Yeah.
Okay.
I administer everything.
Okay, so, I mean, that's...
Yes. $70.50, no matter if you're in the draw for this or the other, we make, we start making the minimal payments to you.
Yeah.
With that, you're saying that if someone is drawing it out, has left the money in the plan?
Correct.
$70.50, they gotta take all of it out?
No, only what they're required to.
Well, that's a mandatory distribution thing.
Yeah.
That's not what he was saying.
Yeah, that's not what John was saying.
Okay.
This document says...
Yeah, I don't, and I don't know where that came from, John. I don't think that we need to...
I don't think you'd wanna do that. If you did that, you'd subject the whole damn thing to taxes.
Well, you can roll it over.
Well, you can, you could roll it over.
But here's a guy that's elected to leave it in his plan, is what I'm getting at. Now, he can't do that anymore.
We wanna make it to where he can, but he has to take his RMDs, his required minimum distribution.
I think it's...
Retiring may defer election of payment till $70.50. At $70.50, distribution should be paid at a rate which meets the minimum distribution rules of internal revenue.
I think that that...
Any account participant earnings according to the yada, yada, yada.
And to me, that statement is in our ordinance, and it states that we're gonna start the minimum payments at $70.50.
Yeah, I think...
This is making them take all of it out. This is the minimum required.
Yes.
But if they roll it over...
Yes.
If they roll it over after $70.50...
If they roll it to another...
To an IRA.
ICMA or IRA or...
Are they not...
I roll it over. I send it as a rollover.
And you have to...
So they have to, basically, that rule applies...
Not if it's a rollover. If it's a rollover and I'm sending it somewhere...
Because at that age, it doesn't matter.
I give them a 1099 that shows that it's a G in box seven, that it's a rollover.
Yeah.
And then when they get it from whatever entity they rolled it to, they'll tax it when they start taking it.
While you still...
Well, my, like I said, the plan that I rolled out of at $70.50 withheld and distributed to me the RMD.
For that year.
For that year.
So you have to calculate all this?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Even though I was gonna roll it over, it was my responsibility to pay the tax. Plan document required them to make sure that before I left...
Tax was paid.
So the tax was paid for that $70, and you were distributed what you needed to for that year. Yes.
And they, you know, they gave...
My hope is that... I used to go in around 50-something.
Your hope is?
Yes. I've had one person in the draw that was 78. Yeah. So far. So I don't have to do too many calculations.
Okay.
But yes, one person has been as... Did 8 years in the draw and was like 78 when he left.
Okay. All right, well...
So that's the homework.
Yeah.
Okay, we can still work on tweaking these forms, but...
Alicia, you're the first one that discusses the options of the people when they go into the draw.
Yes. We sit down with them and we go over all of their...
No, I don't think it says...
Their monthly benefits, their insurances, their...
Where it says you have to pay all, I only saw where you have to meet the minimum requirements of IRS.
They can elect...
That's a universal. I have not, I've looked through it. Does it say you have to pay all this in the box?
For just health insurance, it's not...
I'm looking for it, yeah. Under all this, this type for you. L is in the wrong place.
And it's $1,000 for the family plan.
My current draw account will remain on the plan, so I might let you understand that the ordinance... Yeah, that's...
Still gonna be taxable.
Four-room, so we need to change that part of this form.
Yeah. Not all of them, not everybody has a beneficiary. There's different options.
Yeah.
Required funds.
That's understood.
Particular item.
You should say all funds required by IRS rule.
Plan.
You know what I mean, add another line.
I realize what a benefit that is. My bill down pocket was over $1 million to pay it off.
My husband's open heart surgery was over $250,000, and we paid $10,000, so grateful.
on this one, Torrance?
Mm-hmm. Which one? Sorry.
I don't know what one you want to touch, but it's just a...
Well, there was a, IRS rule that they can't take out about 7.5, you have to start getting some of your money, but you don't have to take all of it. But that's, the box is saying you have to take all of it, so...
Yeah, but just cut and paste it, and then edit it, and maybe just get it.
Yeah.
Or didn't really realize it.
And then have our attorneys make...
Has to take it out. And then down here, it says, he produces the,
All right, I'll work on that word.
Pardon this firm?
Let's start.
Adam Livingston made this one?
Just highlight that one.
No, we adjusted, just, we pulled it from some other cities, and, right.
Do they sign any kind of form that they've been canceled, or the distribution of these monies or anything?
What do you mean canceled?
Do they have to sign any kind of form that they have talked to you about this?
Yes. They have to...
Well, yeah.
Elect an option?
They are aware of what their options are, is what I'm getting at.
It's saying that you can, if you do...
Yeah, I suggest you might want to generate some kind of form in that regard.
It's only if I just sit on that one.
Requires minimum distribution, when you turn 70, and the government forces you to take money.
We've had a pension plan for about 50 years now.
Keep building, 70.5.
No one's ever come back.
And,
But as I understand it, you can leave, if you're in the drop article, you can leave your money in the plan after 70.5.
Yeah.
The plan has to calculate the RMDs.
Yeah.
If they're taking $25 a week, and the RMD requires that they take $150 a week, then at the end of the year, we have to calculate how much is the shortfall, and then send them a distribution.
Yeah.
Were you right, that this form does not say that?
Right.
We're gonna change that.
We're still working on the lettering for the form, that has nothing really to do with the, that has something...
I don't think that's in the ordinance of...
That can be changed, that's not something that's gonna go to city council and be written in stone.
Yes, the forms are not going to council, the ordinance will,
Obviously, the ordinance has precedent, wherever we put in the form, if it's wrong, it has to default to the ordinance anyway.
Right.
Okay, well, that's not the intent, that's something on these forms.
That's not the entire ordinance, that's...
But when it addresses the 70?
Right.
If the intent was to make people remove their money, it would be written in the ordinance. But we don't see it currently.
I haven't been able to find it.
Maybe that's what you said.
It's kind of a legal...
Molding.
Very legally.
Form, which is, that's all.
What, you guys enjoy reading the legal stuff?
No.
It's not really fun to me.
Okay, all right, so we'll work on that, we'll look at the rules, and we'll work on some of these forms to make sure that everybody, you know, understands them. And I like your suggestion, John, about on the 70.5, maybe we should take their required minimum distribution. So we take that out in taxes, is that, and then give them a W-99 or...
We have to by law.
Yeah, and we withhold.
It's not an option, we have to.
So as the way John said it, like at the end of the year, whatever they take, if it's not enough, you have to cut them a check before December 31st and give them a 1099 form.
Yep.
For the IRS.
Okay.
To make sure we're meeting.
Yep.
And withhold.
Yes. And I withhold 20%.
That's standard, pretty much.
Okay.
And then I let them know they could be subjected to another 10%. And it's added to their income.
That's a good point. I just thought about that. So, if you leave your money in this plan, and you pull it out before 59.5, are you subject to that 10%?
Only for firefighters, police, and military, it's 850.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I give them a 1099, I mark the box two.
Okay.
So that they can, they have to prove whatever they have to prove.
Okay.
But by marking the box with a two instead of a seven or a one or whatever, they can go get that exemption.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so we'll continue to work on it, tweak the rules and those forms to make it a little more easy to understand. Nyhart. They have been our actuary not that long. We hired Randall Stanley to be our actuary back in 1999, and he was older, and he was our actuary for many, many years. And I guess it's been about 4 years ago, he got older, and he decided it was time to retire. So what he did is he sold his whole firm to Nyhart. It used to be, if you look at some of the old stuff, all the old stuff, Stanley Holcomb and Associates was our actuary. He sold out to Nyhart. So Nyhart, and then he hired David Harris right about the same time, because there was another, Jonathan Craven used to be our actuary, used to work with Randy and used to do a lot of the actuarial stuff. And then when Randy sold the business to Nyhart, Jonathan Craven was gone. So I think, and this is just my opinion, I don't know for a fact, but I think Jonathan was expecting to take the business over. And when he found out he wasn't taking the business over, you know, Randall wasn't going to turn the business over to him, he left. So then David Harris, shortly after that, he hired David Harris, and then David Harris worked for Randall Stanley, for Stanley Holcomb and Associate. Or no, I think he never did work. It was always Nyhart when David was hired. Mm-hmm. So he brought David Harris on, and David Harris took care of our plan and took care of us for years. Randy was kind of like the name of the firm, but David Harris did all the work. And then David Harris... Then soon after, Randy kind of eased his way out of the business. I don't think he has anything to do with the business anymore, but they kept him on when Nyhart took over. They kept Randy on for five years. So then they hired David Guy, and David Guy was the one that Alicia Luce and I was contacting on a pretty regular basis. He pretty much had our plan and did. He was a young kid, just graduated high, or had, was a young kid. They were kind of training to anyways, so he finally got up to speed. We were doing everything with him, and then we get an email about 6 months ago. David Guy no longer works for Nyhart. And it was like, effective immediately, David Guy no longer works for Nyhart. So then I put all the work back on David Harris, and David Harris has been going and doing it and doing it and doing it. Now he has just quit. He said, I got a job with the Gwinnett County School District up in Georgia, and it's going to be one, you know, just the city plan. I don't need to know 18 different cities' plans and the ins and outs and intricacies. It's much simpler. It's much closer to his house. So he quit Nyhart and went to be this retirement director for the Gwinnett County School District. That tells me there's a lot going on at Nyhart, and it doesn't sound like what's going on is good. You know, when they're losing good employees like that, I don't know if it's the stress level, I don't know if it's the pay, I don't know what it is, but, and I don't know if we should keep them. You know, apparently I've just gotten an email from somebody else who is going to take over the office, but I was just wondering that at this time, should we put out for an RFP for another actuary, you know, before this new guy gets up to speed. We could just, and the actuarial report was just turned in, so it doesn't happen for another 6 months or so. So I would like to know what the board's feeling is on, should we just stay with Nyhart and continue on, or do you think it'd be a good time to put out an RFP for another actuarial?
What are the other counties that have
that are using this guy to do it?
Fort Lauderdale doesn't use him anymore, but Pompano Beach, City of Miami, he said City of Miami for like 20, 30 years, or for like 30, 35 years, long time, City of Miami. Daytona Beach, I think, and some Orlando, he's got an Orlando account. He's got like five, I would say five accounts in Florida.
Have you talked to them personally at all?
I did talk to David, yes, and he said the stress got to be too much, and he's taking a much simpler job closer to his house.
No, I'm talking about this company that we're with. I mean,
I have not talked to them because they haven't reached out. Apparently, I just got an email in the last day or two. I've been off for, I'll check my emails when I get in, but.
Yeah, somebody emailed us Friday.
I think it'd be a good idea to chat with these people and find out what's going on, you know, before we go roaring off to another company.
Okay, okay. We could do that. We could bring
that. Are they still wanting our business or what?
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I mean, I can't imagine they don't want, still want our business. And I'm not saying that let's just dump them and run, but I'm just raising some concerns that I have.
I don't see anything wrong with talking to other companies at this point.
Right. And the other thing, Foster & Foster is an actuarial firm out of Fort Myers. The attorney sent an email stating that he sent a sample RFP and then said who we should send it to. And those firms were Cavanaugh McDonald, which is up in Atlanta, and Jonathan Craven would certainly be given this. When Jonathan Craven left Randall Stanley, he went to Cavanaugh McDonald. Okay. And Randy, then when Randy hired Davis, you know, hired David Harris, he just said how much better he was. Jonathan was just lazy and slow, and every time Randy asked him, is it ready, is it ready? I'm going and I'm working on it, I'm going and it's coming, you know. He was just like never in a hurry, and he wasn't. And then David Harris, you know, he was just like getting everything. So Randall was kind of glad in a way that Jonathan Craven had decided to leave and that he got David Harris. So I think if we went with Cavanaugh McDonald, we would probably get Jonathan.
Who's the city of police detention use?
Foster and Foster. And Alicia works with them.
I absolutely love them.
You know, when they do the actuarial report for the police, you know, every time if Alicia changes, when somebody changed from disability to this or that, or their money changed by this or that, they're constantly, why was this, yeah, why did this happen back in April of 2017? What was this, why was this done?
And I feed them the information at the end of the year, the data. They audit our information better than our internal and external auditors. And that's one of the things that I love about them, is if there's anything,
error, mistake.
If I do a manual and void it, they're like, well, what's this check for? Why was there a second check for that person? And it's like, well, they lost it, so we reissued it. No big deal. But they find those things. They question those things. Their evaluation is...
And you're not getting that same type of service from a current provider.
I think they take it and they put it in their evaluation. They don't audit it like that, no. They don't require as much information from me as Foster does. I think Foster goes above and beyond what a natural, normal actuarial service it provides. But, listen, they...
Have they had a lot of turnover?
Foster?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
If not anything, this past year they added manpower to our services for Ocala so that we would get them the information we wanted when we wanted it.
And they're located in Florida?
Yeah.
Fort Myers.
So how many
firms did the attorney recommend?
He recommended like four or five. He recommended Foster and Foster was one of his recommendations. He recommended Siegel, which is out of Atlanta, and that's a very good firm. I don't have any, the general employees use Siegel as a consultant, but not as an actuarial firm. And then Freeman Little, which is Chad Little, which mm-hmm. you may see at some of these conferences. I love the guy. He makes everything sound so easy and so plain, so easy to understand.
That is also a plus for Foster and Foster. Doug Lozen can explain an actuary evaluation like none I've never seen. Mm-hmm. He does break it down into layman's terms and helps you understand also.
I think to Larry's earlier point, we should go ahead and put an RFP out. I mean, we have a reason to do that.
Okay.
And we've been with this firm for a very, very long time.
Right, right. And they can respond to the proposal as well.
Sure.
You know, they have...
How much are we paying these people here?
About 40. And that's the other thing. I think we looked at, we compared what we paid for actuarial services last year. It seems like it was $41,000.
They were like $2,000 off from police. We were a little bit higher.
And police was paid Foster and Foster mm-hmm. $39,000. So Foster and Foster is even less expensive. Or maybe we had more work.
Maybe not at first initially to get where they need to be, that kind of thing. But yes.
In your opinion, though, Foster's basically rendered better service for the police.
Yeah. I've got, with Dave, yes, I can't speak for the next person. Dave was wonderful, and, you know, we called, we got whatever we needed when we needed it.
Hmm. That's gone now.
That's gone now, so I can't speak for the future, you know.
And just those issues, those internal issues.
Yeah, we've gone through three or four people there. I don't know what the other actuary services provide, but Foster has a team that actually works on ours. They have, you know, one or two people that do calculations. They have a couple of people that do the annual reporting. I mean, then they have someone that oversees all of that. So we don't just talk to, with NyHeart, we only talked to Dave, and that was it. There was no one else. If he wasn't there, we just waited until he got back. With Foster, they're a group. You know, you can at any individual time get an answer or talk to somebody else. There's more, I believe they are. More resources.
I like the fact of the auditing aspect, you know, that if there is a mistake made, Dave never questions anything like a voided check or, you know, our actuary never questions anything that she does. They just take that money and worry on that.
They don't look for
this is an extra layer of added auditing.
Why has we got a good bond in here?
To the...
And I'm not a lot of time to do that, so...
Just kidding.
Here's the other issue. We can go out, put an RFP out, or we can just hire Foster and Foster. If everybody feels more comfortable putting the RFP out, we can do that and have other firms, or we can, there's nothing that says that we can't just hire a firm that we're comfortable with. And
I think you should put an RFP out, and then obviously we have our preference.
They're going to come in and make proposals to us.
They will come in.
And at the end of the day, I'm going to be a lot smarter about actuarial firms when I hear four or five proposals that I am rehired.
Okay, I'll see if we can get the RFP out. I'd like to entertain a motion to put on an RFP for actuary.
So moved.
Okay. Second.
Yep. All right. Motion second. We've had the discussion. So, yeah, we'll put it out today. We'll see if we can't get it put out today, and then we'll get the responses. And maybe we'll go.
I think when I talked to Adam, he was going to ask for the response for the 14th of May so that I'd have time to get it out to everyone so that they can, you know,
possibly
keep at it before
show up for
the
May
meeting.
23rd meeting. Possibly show up for May. 23rd.
Either show up or at least give you guys something so that we can, you know, discuss maybe. I don't know if you want all five to come in or shortlisted or you know the short. But
Okay.
But I'll shoot for the 14th.
Okay.
So that we have all the information by the 21st, so at least can review that information and discuss it at the next meeting.
And then maybe as soon as if we can, because this is, the other good thing is this is a slow time for actuaries. They just finished up all their actuary reports that have to be done by what, March 15th or something like that. They have to be done. So they have just finished all of their work and now they do some cleanup and, you know, it's a good time.
Yes.
So if we wanted them to put an RFP together and show up at the May 23rd meeting, it's a good time of year to be able to do that because they're not working on their actuarial reports. All right, so we'll do that. We'll go ahead and put out an RFP for actuarial services and we'll allow iHeart to, you know, rebid. We're not hiring them. If they want to rebid and come back in and give us a proposal, then I think it'd be appropriate to listen to them. But all right, we'll get that done. Now, motion, second, discussion. Any more discussion? Okay, there's a vote, a second. If there's no opposition to unanimous approval, seeing, hearing, none, the motion carries. Yeah, my printer, I got a new computer at the station and the printer doesn't work on it. I had one of the computer gurus downstairs come out and install the computer at the new station. I said, well, while you're here, can you go ahead and hook the printer up? And he spent about 2 hours trying to hook it up because it's not that old. I didn't understand why it wouldn't hook up, but he couldn't get it hooked up. He was calling down to some other office that were trying to put it where, you know, how you can, at the stations, you can have it print in City Hall or you can have it print in administration. You know, put it on the network. That's what he was trying to put it on. Because he couldn't put it to the computer individually, so he said, well, let's try and put it on the network and go about it that way. He couldn't get it on the network. So he left, and then I just waited for another couple of weeks or something, and then just the other day, a week or two ago, I called back to IT. I said, can you help me hook this printer up? And I got somebody else, and he couldn't do any, but he spent another hour on it, and he couldn't do it. So I'm convinced that this printer is not going to work with this computer. So that's not even it. Didn't need the emotion on that.
It does not. I have office supply money that we can spend on that.
Pay office supply money. But anyways, I'm just bringing it before the board. So we're going to go ahead and get a new printer for the office with a new computer. So because she was just asking me, you know, about a disability, you know, and I pulled out the old minutes from 1999 where it was stating exactly what they were saying didn't happen. And but I couldn't scan and send it to her because my computer wasn't, my printer wasn't working, so we didn't need that. And it helps for signatures, too. She can send me something, email, I sign it, scan it, and I don't have to get in my car and come all the way down here. Okay, I don't know if I'm going to be here at the May meeting.
Where is that meeting?
It's possible, but I don't know.
But
is he going to be here? I think it's the 23rd,
right? I think
it is
the 23rd.
It's 21st. 21st? Okay, I'm sorry.
21st. I should know that because I knew it was the 14th of the RFPs.
Yeah,
so
May 21.
May 21st. So you will not be here.
Okay, so
I think since you're not going to be here, your term is up in August.
Is he not going to be here in May?
No.
Okay.
So if you're planning on running again, whatever, you can submit that stuff to the
office. Sure. You see off the streets with that. Seems like I just did that.
I know, it's every 2 years, sorry.
It was so fast.
Do we need to take any action on this operating rules and procedures, or do it in terms of for the next meeting?
We'll do it later, yeah.
Okay.
I gotta read that.
Tallahassee. There are, there's a class in Tallahassee. I have you scheduled for, Mr. Fagan scheduled for June 5th and 6th.
Yes, ma'am.
I have all your information.
Yes, ma'am.
You're set to go.
Yes.
Just gotta show up. Justin, I think I need, well, everybody, their registration. Have you registered?
I did.
Yes, you did.
I did.
Did you register online?
I've got confirmation back from them as well.
I need a copy of that confirmation.
Okay.
It's on there.
My printer doesn't work, actually. And I don't have, my wife has not yet bought me another one.
Okay.
So I may just forward you.
That's fine. That's fine.
Where do I go to sign up for that?
I'll send you the information. I might have sent it to Ocala FL email address.
Okay.
Instead of your other one.
If you could, just forward.
Yeah, I'll send you another one. No. You were waiting for it to come back or something?
Yeah, and I never.
Okay.
I think I did get a
Email or something?
I got another email, but it was another invite and I never opened it.
Okay.
Would that be the confirmation? I guess I should have opened it.
Yes. Open it, see, there should be something on there that states that you owe like $210 or $200.
All right, I'll look.
I need a copy of that so I can send them a check to pay for.
I'll
if you don't have that, if you don't mind, I mean, you can sign back on and should be able to see something.
Okay.
Or you can pass the information on to me and I'll.
I will get that done this afternoon, and if there's any question, I'll just give you a call. And we'll
With the state of Florida, it's unique because you have to actually go in and you put your social and some personal information, and then I can send them a check. I can't register you like I do with all the other classes.
Okay.
But yeah, anything you get, that just shows a dollar amount, so I can send them a check.
You know, I'll check my email. I'll look at that email. If it doesn't have a specific confirmation, I'll log back on the website. I'll just give you a call, and we'll find what we need.
And I have you registered for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday instead of just Tuesday and Wednesday because it's the new trustees on Monday.
Okay.
You'll need to do yours actually Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday too.
Could you send me the same email so I can get the information?
Yeah, I registered for Monday as well. I figured to review that new trustee stuff.
Monday, that new trustee, I've been doing this for a long, long, long time. I always go to the new trustee school, and I don't think there's ever been one time I've been to the new trustee's day that I didn't learn something.
Really?
So, it's up to you whether you want to go to that or not. But it's some of it's redundant, but some of it's also refresh. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Second, okay.
So. All right. Is there anything else that? So we'll see if we can't get these get the responses for RFP at our May 21st meeting, and listen to some more actuaries. And anything else? Anybody else have any?
You're just going to send me the information for the printer that you want?
Yeah. Scott and I, because he's going to be taking over, we can run over.
Yeah, he might like it.
Office.
Have some input on it.
Office Depot. Yeah, I just used the one.
I got a question.
Similar to the one I use at home because I know all the buttons and I'm familiar and you know how I am with computers.
The computer you got, does it have a Wi-Fi card? Or is it a
It's laptop? Brand new, so I would assume it does.
It has Wi-Fi.
It's like they have at the
station. I just bought a printer at the house and I really like it. And it can do everything. It's not that expensive, but it can scan and everything. It'll even send faxes. So I have a printer in mind.
Okay.
And I know how to use it.
They like you to hardwire in the city. They don't like so much Wi-Fi, but maybe.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. I'm sure it'd be fine for the stuff in that.
As long as the thing works.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you can get with me and with the model number and all that, and then we can give it to Alicia. And I think if we go through Office Depot, we get it tax-free, and they also have a...
Yeah, we have a couple of ways we can buy it. Once you give me the model number and stuff. We shop through Amazon, Office Supply, and Staples, just to, whatever's the
I bought it at Staples, then I think it was on sale when I bought it about a month ago.
I know, we got a lot of ladies that just, you know, we can't.
It works pretty good.
I know. Well, you and I can talk there.
Just don't buy one.
That's why I got one of those ones with your house.
It was cost a fortune.
Yeah, that's a laser printer, and the new trend, this one is a inkjet, has cartridges, but it actually prints more per cartridge than the lasers do now, which that used to be that way. It's cheaper with this than it is a laser. And it's cheaper to buy.
And the other thing that I had when I bought the ink ones is sometimes I don't use the thing for a month or 6 weeks, you know. Not usually. Well, I'll scan stuff and everything, but as far as printing goes, it'll go a long time. And I know I have a big problem with printers, ink printers, if they sit for a long time. They don't.
It's expensive as all get out, too.
Yeah. But whatever.
It shouldn't have to print very much, though.
Okay.
We're trying to keep things electronic.
Sure.
Just want a printer that works, is all we want.
Okay. All right. If that's it, then with no further business for the board, the meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Do you know if I go?